Let's begin our lesson this morning by reading through some verses here in Mark chapter 10. I want to read the first 12 verses. If you'd like, you can follow along. Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote you that precept. But from the beginning of the creation of God, he made them male and female. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh. So then, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And in the house, his disciples asked him again. Evidently, he was outside teaching, as his manner was. And I don't think he was even on the subject of marriage. He was probably, no doubt in my mind, he was preaching to them the gospel, talking to them about the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning the coming of Christ and so on. And then these Pharisees came in and began to ask him about divorce. And then when he went into the house, his disciples asked him again, verse 10, Mark chapter 10, of the same matter. And he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Now the lesson contained in these several verses is about marriage, and in particular about divorce. I titled the lesson, Marriage and Christ. I have several things I want to point out as we go through these verses. And the first thing is this. Notice who's doing the teaching. It says, he came thither, and as he was wont, taught them again. This is Christ doing the teaching. This is the Word made flesh. There's no higher authority than him. No purer revelation than him. He doesn't talk about things he doesn't know anything about. He talks about things he knows. He knows. He's the teacher. And I don't have for you this morning the Catholic confession of faith concerning marriage. And I don't have and don't even desire to read the Baptist doctrine about marriage. Nor do I care for any of the denominational explanations or rules concerning marriage. What I do have, and I find full sufficiency in, is the teaching of the Son of God. Do I really want to know about marriage and divorce? If I do, you're not going to find a better source. This is the Son of God himself. And you might doubt my input on any of the doctrines that I speak. And you can accept or reject my opinions on the matters. But you better be careful how you treat these words because these words are from the Son of God. Don't take them lightly. And I'm, as I said before, confident that marriage wasn't what our Lord was teaching when these Pharisees approached him. They approached him wanting to tempt him, wanting to shut him up, wanting him to be quiet on the subject of the Christ. And so they got this straw man here about marriage and divorce, and they threw it at him, tempting him. He preached Christ, preached Christ. That's what he preached. Christ and him crucified. And out of this teaching, everything else finds its foundation, including marriage and divorce. The Apostle Paul said he determined to know nothing among the Corinthians when he went to them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all. This is where he went. He wasn't straying from it. He wasn't going sideways from it. This is what he said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Yet he taught the Lord's table to the Corinthians. He taught the Corinthians something about church discipline. He taught them how to give. He taught them about the ministry, and he taught them about marriage, but he never swerved from Christ and him crucified. All these other things grow out of that. They all find their foundation in Christ crucified. So here's the first thing I want us to consider. Christ is the teacher. And then secondly, this subject began as a leading question from the enemies of God and the enemies of his people. These were Pharisees. Now, most of you have watched television court trials. And one of them will be up and he's just popping questions. And all of a sudden, the other lawyer will stand up and he said, objection. He's leading the witness. He's leading the witness. And that's what these Pharisees were doing. They were leading the witness. They wanted to lead him right into their little trap that they had set. They asked him questions. And to be honest with you, I go sometimes to worship services away from here as a guest speaker or whatever. And I have people after the service sometimes ask me leading questions just like this. Whatever the divisive issue is of the day, Christ being made sin, eternal justification, something. And they'll start asking me leading questions. They want to lead me right into their little trap. And that's what they were doing with our Lord. They ask him, it says here in verse 2, tempting him. Tried to lead him into their little trap, and they sought to make him appear foolish and ignorant before the people. That's what they wanted to do. I'm convinced these Pharisees had no interest in the subject of marriage. They weren't asking this question for information. They weren't trying to settle some troubling issue among them over marriage. These Pharisees knew what they believed and why, and they could tell you. They could tell you. And they weren't asking him. They weren't even interested in the subject of marriage. It served only as a springboard for their accusations. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but I want you to think about it. Religious men and women who don't know God are not good people confused in their doctrines. They're not good folks confused in their doctrines. They're enemies of God and they're enemies of your soul. Our Lord told his disciples who were constantly at that point trying to defend the Pharisees. Still trying to justify their confidence in them because they were raised under them. They were taught to respect them. And, well, I'll give you an occasion. They came to our Lord and they said, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended?" "Yeah, I know. I know. I know what I said and why I said it. I know they were offended." "Leave them alone." That's what he told his disciples. "Leave them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, they're both going to fall in the ditch. Leave them alone." A lot of times we think we've been along this way for a while, and we think, well, maybe if I go down there and join myself to that little group, maybe they'll allow me to teach Sunday school. Maybe I can get in there and sneak a little medicine in the milk. No, you're the one who's going to come away with the virus. That Antichrist virus. You're the one who's going to suffer harm. They're not going to be bettered for it. You're going to be worsened for it. These are Satan's servants, his children. That's what he told those. They said, "Are you saying we be born of fornication? We have one Father, even God." He said, "If God was your Father, you'd love me. I proceeded forth and came from God. You're of your father, the devil." Isn't that what he told them? Exactly what he told them. They're Satan's servants, they're his children, and the lust of their father they will do. Now here's the question. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? He's married a woman and she won't obey him. She won't keep the house the way he expected her to keep it. She's always wanting something contrary to what he wants. He's married this woman and they're not getting along and he wants a divorce. He wants a divorce. She didn't live up to his expectations and now he wants a divorce. So, here it is. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Well, our Lord could have just simply said yes or no. He could have, but he didn't because of why they asked the question. And he just turns this whole thing right back around on them and he said, "What did Moses say?" That's where your hope is in the law. What did Moses say? What does the law say about this? And they said, "Well, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and put her away." And as usual, they left out the reason for the bill. None of them even knew it. Verse 5, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, The hardness of your heart." That's why this bill of divorcement was granted, because of the hardness of your heart. And he wrote you this precept. Because you're sinners. You're sinners. Your hard heart, Moses gave you this bill of divorcement. And then our Lord, this is my fourth point, our Lord turns to them and he tells them the truth about marriage. If you want to know the truth about divorce, you first have to know the truth about marriage. And so our Lord turns to him in Mark chapter 10, verse 6. He said, "But from the beginning of the creation of God, he made them male and female. And he led this woman to her husband and joined them together." And then he said this. You can read it back in the book of Genesis. He said this. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." There wasn't even a father and a mother yet when he said this. "And they twain shall be one flesh, so then they're no more twain, they're not two people, they're one." Now, If you're one, how are you going to separate one? You see what he's telling them? You don't know what marriage is. That's why you want to quibble and argue about divorce. You don't know what marriage is. Many of them were married and still didn't know what marriage was. Some of them may have already sought a bill of divorcement. I don't know. But here's what our Lord told them. He said, in the beginning, there was no divorce. There was the joining of a man and a woman together, and they twain shall be one. One flesh, one body. They're one. And the very first relationship manifested on earth after God's creation was marriage. Now all these relationships are given of God and designed of God to teach us something about our relationship to Him. Friends and fathers and mothers and all of these relationships. But the first relationship was a relationship of marriage. And it was the first relationship established because it is a picture or a type of Christ and His church. And this is the reason for creation. God created the world. He took of that clay and made a man, and then took of his rib and made a woman, and then led the woman to the man and joined them together, and they become one. This is a picture of Christ and His church. This glorious betrothal, this promised union, that's what prompted creation. This union of Adam and Eve pictured the union of Christ and His church by which all the children of God would find their being, and in time, all the benefits and blessings of God. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, Paul writes, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it." In this union of marriage, a man and a woman are joined together. And our Lord said, "They twain shall be one flesh." So then, they're no more twain but one. They're one flesh. They cannot symbolize Christ and His church and be apart from one another. Can you imagine Christ and His people and they're separate? No way. The very foundation of our hope is our union with Christ. Cannot symbolize Christ and His church and be apart from one another. It's only in their union. Christ is one with His church. And then there's a new obstruction to marriage today, where the bride continues to be called by her maiden name. Boy, don't you come here after you get married and tell me that. I'll scold you. I won't scold you over much, but I'll scold you over that. Can you imagine, as a believer, confessing my oneness to Christ, but still preferring my relationship to Adam over Him? You can't even imagine such a thing. Well, that's what it is in this picture of Christ and His church in marriage. If we enter into marriage, but we won't want to take our husband's name, we still want to identify with our original father. That's religion. Exactly what that is. This is born out of false religion and this individualism that they try to mix into their union with Christ. It all flows from men and women's ignorance of the believer's union with Christ. That's why this whole thing of marriage has been blown so far out. They have same-sex marriage in our days. I can't even fathom such a thing. And I'll tell you something else about this union. It's not brought to pass in ignorance. Ask somebody what they believe. I don't know. I just believe. Then you don't believe. You don't believe. This thing of faith, when God, when a man's born again and God gives him that gift of faith, that whole thing is a joining together of Christ and his church. This union is becoming complete now. And he gives us of his spirit. He takes up residence. We've always been one with him, but now he lets you in on it. He lets you in on it. And he don't do it in ignorance. He tells you exactly what you are. You think when Boaz married Ruth that Ruth hid something from Boaz? Boaz knew everything there was to know about her. And she knew everything she needed to know about Boaz. They went into that marriage with their eyes wide open. If we come to him, we come with our eyes wide open. We hear the truth about ourselves and the truth about him. And I'm gonna say this. I'm not going to say that men don't do this. Some of them do. But women in particular, young women, get in so much trouble thinking that they can change this man that they're about to marry somewhere down the road. I'm going to change him. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. He's going to be the same man you married. Same man you married. Don't hide things from one another. Be honest with one another. Go into marriage with your eyes wide open. And know this. It's a picture of the believer's relationship to Christ, and then treat it that way. Treat it that way. Let that be the motivational force behind our behavior in marriage. Well, preacher, what about those who have already been divorced? Already experienced separation? Treat them just the same way you treat every other sinner that's come to Christ. What's past is past. Leave it in the past. We don't live in the past. We live today. Today, if you hear his voice, isn't that what he said? Harden not your heart. Now, we got quite a few young men and women who are at that age where marriage is, they're beginning to contemplate marriage. And to you, I'm going to give three things by way of instruction. First of all, if you marry, marry in the Lord. If you're a believer, if you believe what I'm preaching, teaching to this congregation, if you're a believer, don't marry outside the Lord. You can date somebody outside the Lord and bring them in here. Hopefully the Lord will allow them to hear. Allow them, maybe he will. Maybe he'll allow them to see. But if they don't you marry outside the Lord. Brother Mahan was talking to, we were kind of in the early 20s, his Sunday school class. Went from about 18 to 26 or 7, something like that. Anyway, he came up to this subject one Sunday, and here's what he said. He said, if a child of God marries a child of the devil, you're going to have trouble with your father-in-law. Either direction. Christ's not going to play second fiddle in your life, and as one becomes more and more prominent, if Christ becomes, and he will if you're a believer, he'll become more and more prominent in your life, then your wife or your husband's going to become more and more jealous over this prominence of Christ. He's beginning to take you away from her or him, and you're spending time over here. And they become jealous. So to be one with your bride, make sure you both have the same interest in the gospel. Secondly, when you marry in the Lord, and you may say, well, there's nobody here. There's nobody here that I have an interest in. There's nobody here my age. Then cancel your next fishing trip and go up and visit one of these churches where there is. Isaac didn't find his bride where he lived, did he? Nope, his father's servant sent over to another place to find his bride and brought her back. Kelsey didn't find a bride here. Found a husband in New Jersey. But he's a believer.
Danville.
Went to Danville Conference. That's right. So you can't find one here. This is not the only church. Find one that has somebody your age and go up there and visit. Go up there and visit. Who knows what the Lord may do. And then secondly, when you do marry, and you will eventually, do not expect too much from your spouse. Marriage is a joining of one sinner to another sinner. Don't forget that. I tell you, if you want to know just how much of a sinner you are, read the book of Hosea. He commanded his prophet to go marry a harlot. He said, a harlot? A harlot. You go marry her. You love her. You love her as your wife. And he did. But he said, this is the whole house of Israel. This is picturing the whole house of Israel. They're sinners. They're sinners. Marriage is the union of one sinner to another, and sinners need constant forgiveness, constant attention, and constant consideration, don't they? Don't run to a lawyer every time she loses her temper or you lose yours, that you don't need to run to a lawyer. You need to learn how to forgive. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I know people who've made pets out of wild animals, and then when they got bit, they were surprised. One of them had a coon, and he was sticking his finger through there, and he's playing with that coon. That coon got aggravated after a while and chomped down on the fingers. He said, I raised him from a baby. Yeah, but he's a coon. He ain't a poodle. People raise snakes and then get bit. Huh? One sinner marries another and then gets upset because their nature comes out. You see what I'm saying? Don't be surprised. And then my third advice to you is to seek above all else your spouse's spiritual good. Don't be afraid to have a reading in the morning, a devotional. Sit and read several verses of Scripture. If you don't feel like commenting on those verses to her, there's all kinds of morning and evening devotionals that you can read, and good writers. Don's got one. Several people have them. They're devotionals. You can read a certain amount of passages in there, and he'll give you some comments on it, and you can have a morning and evening devotional. Bring her to worship. Take part together in church activities. And educate yourself by listening to good gospel preaching and then apply that teaching in your home. You're the priest of your home. Did you know that? The man is the priest of his home. And you have that responsibility. And then I want to close with the Lord's final word on this subject. These were believers. These were his disciples. And everybody else went away. They heard what he had to say. Some of them were interested. Some of them wasn't. They went away. And then they went into the house for the evening. Teaching was over. And the disciples came to him and they said, "Lord, tell us what you said. We're not really sure what you said." Here's what he said. "Be it man or woman, if they divorce and marry another, except for fornication or abandonment." In the book of Corinthians, he uses abandonment as a reason. If she won't stay with you, let her go. Let her go. She don't want any part of this gospel. She don't want any part of this walk. She's not going to stay at peace. She's not going to keep your home. She's just going to... There's no reconciliation. And that's not the case in every case. And he states that. He said if she'll stay, then let her stay. The Lord may use that relationship. He may use your love for her and her love for you. He may use that to sanctify her and change her and show her the truth. So if she'll stay, let her stay. But if she won't stay, if she's going to abandon you and be no reconciliation, let her go. Let her go. And then the other being fornication. And both of these can be forgiven and should be if asked. But if not, a divorce is permitted. Otherwise, divorce and remarriage is nothing more than fornication and adultery. That's the Lord's word on this thing. So when we enter into these relationships, I'm telling you, if I do the marrying, I'm going to be sure that you know that these things that you're saying are in the sight of God. You're saying these things before Him, not just me and whoever gathered here. These are witnesses, but you're taking these oaths, you're taking these pledges before God. And I'm going to tell you something, He'll hold you to them. He'll hold you to them. All right, thank you.